book of Matthew, in the 9th chapter. Have we got any blessed folks in the house this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, that's good to know. Amen. We are very, very blessed. Reading from the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 9. Matthew 9 and 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful, God, for your many blessings, for your mercy and for your grace, for this day that you've given us and allowed us an opportunity to come into your house to worship. Father, we're so thankful for each and every one that's come this way this morning. And Father, I just pray, God, that you would open up the window of heaven. God, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this congregation. Father, I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay this morning as nothing more than a vessel and an oracle. God, that you may speak through us today. God, I pray that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would reach out and bless those who are afflicted today, whether it be a physical affliction or a spiritual affliction. Father, I pray that if anyone here under the sound of my voice has not made that commitment, has not come to an altar of repentance, Father, I pray that this would be the day that they would make that decision, God, to come and be a recipient of your grace and mercy. Father, again, we ask that the will, your will, be done this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Praise God. This morning I want to bring a message entitled in the form of a question. It is simply asked, Have you been made whole? Have you been made whole? This week has been a very busy time. We've had a lot going on, but it's also been a busy time in listening to the voice of God. How many is thankful that God still speaks to us during our busyness? Amen. Sometimes he has to slow us down to speak to us, doesn't he? You know, somebody says, well, God seems to speak to me more at night. That's because you're so busy during the day, he can't get your attention. But when you lay down at night, seemingly that's when we get the attention from the voice of God and he begins to speak to us. That has been the case this week as God has begun to speak to my heart. And he has placed a concern in my spirit. How many knows it's all right to have a concern? I didn't say worry, I didn't say stress, I didn't say anxiety, I simply mentioned a concern. He has placed a concern in my heart and in my spirit. Are we concerned enough for the lost in the world today? Do we have compassion on those that are homeless, those that are destitute, those that are broken, and especially those that don't know Jesus? There's a question that is often asked, are you a Christian? And the response, more times than not, is yes, I go to church. Amen. Thank God for church. Thank God for the body of Christ. Amen. Little do we realize sometimes that this building is not the church. It is a church house. It is a meeting place, but that's not the church. Let me also remind you that this little body that's in this church this morning is not the entire body of Christ. Aren't you glad that it's much bigger than this? Aren't you glad it's made up of born-again Christians all over the world? Those who are blood-bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But that is the response of so many people. Are you a Christian? Yes, I go to church. I'm a member of so-and-so, and that's fine, and that's good, and I'm not demeaning that. I'm not putting that down. I'm just simply concerned that a lot of people are banking their salvation on either church membership or church attendance, which is what you do if you are saved, not to think that it's going to take the place of salvation. There is a difference between religion and salvation. I was almost tempted to title this message something else, but prayer, and sometimes you don't want to be offensive and mean from the pulpit. Amen. A very special pastor in my eyes. I've talked to him many, many times, and so many times he'll say, folks, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just preaching you what the Word of God says. And I know it comes from his heart. I know it comes from love. But as I entitled, Have You Been Made Whole? I almost entitled it Religious But Still Sick. Religious But Still Sick. All of this starts as Jesus comes by a receipt table. Amen. Those that are tax collectors. Amen. And how many of those tax collectors need to be saved? Amen. Well, we could have a revival at the IRS building, couldn't we? Amen. Not judging, just kind of looking at the fruit. Not being judgmental by any way. Amen. But we could have a wonderful revival in the IRS building. But this was the case. Matthew was a tax collector. You know, a lot of people who wrote him off, he is not a candidate for a disciple. Do you know that people will write you off? Oh, he's too lost. He'll never be saved. He'll never amount to anything. I know his life. He'll be up one day and down the next. He ain't good for nothing. You know, people will put you down like everything. But aren't you glad there's a Savior? Aren't you glad there's a healer? Aren't you glad there's the one who's the redeemer of our life? Amen. No matter what we've been in, no matter what we've been involved in, he can reach down and lift us up and bring us out of that old miry pit of clay. Amen. And establish our goings, as the Bible says. Thank God for the mercy of our Lord and Savior. But these Pharisees, they begin to question Christ and his association with sinners. And this story, I've read it, I've preached on it, I've heard messages, and how that Matthew became a disciple, and not because of his background, not because of who he was, not because of what he could do, but because of Jesus Christ. Jesus saw something in him and changed his life and made a follower out of him. So as Jesus went to sit down with him for meat or for food, some of his friends came by, some of his tax collectors, and if you look at that and run research on it, some of those were very, very, for lack of a better term, very much sinners. I mean, not just the sinners of disobedience, but they were sinners, and you know, there used to be a saying, rank sinner. Amen. I don't know the difference, but I was a sinner. I could have been rank. I don't know. Amen. Without the blood of Jesus, I think we are pretty rank. Amen. But these were the ones that Jesus was associating with him. How dare him go and sit with sinners? How dare him sit at the table with those that were lost? And the Pharisees, they couldn't understand that. So they began to question the disciples. And Jesus heard them talking. Let me tell you something. When you're whispering, when you're gossiping, when you're repeating something that you don't know is for sure or not, let me tell you something. There's somebody else listening to you. Amen. The Lord is listening to every word that we say. Amen. Every tale that we spread or whatever it is, the Lord is listening and he knows. And Jesus heard them speaking and he began to answer them in this way. He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Sick. And if we look at this, the Lord was not talking about a physical sickness as much as he was talking about a spiritual sickness. Amen. How many knows that God has an answer for spiritual sickness? How many's glad, amen, that the Lord can take whatever's wrong in your life and turn it around and make it right? Thank God, amen, for his love. Thank God for his ability to touch us. They did not. Let me tell you about the Pharisees. I understand the Pharisees in their eyes were right. You ever seen anybody like that? They may not always be right, but buddy, they're never wrong. Come on. I know, you're thinking of a name right now. Please don't mention it. Do not mention that name. But you're thinking of somebody who's always right. And
and never wrong. And they were by the letter. Nothing wrong by living by the letter of the law. Amen. God bless the word. We need the word. Amen. But let me tell you something. When it begins to overshadow the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary, which in fact is part of the word of God. It is the prophetic word of God. It is also the revelation of God. Amen. It is also the power put into effect by the Son of the Lord, of the Son of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Thank God for that. But the Pharisees were very strict and abiding by the Mosaic law, wherein religion becomes external or outward. The disposition of the heart is less vital than the outward act. Don't know about you, but when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, it affected my insides. Amen. And when my insides were affected, it automatically showed on the outside. Too many people try to get it backwards. They try to get the outside right, hoping that the inside will come along. Let me tell you, it'll never happen. I've heard people say, I'm just trying to do better. You won't do no better. Amen. I tried to do better, and I couldn't do no better until Jesus Christ became Lord and Savior of my life. Then he turned my life around. Amen. Amen. He changed my expectations. He changed my lifestyle. He even changed my conversation. He even changed my very appearance. Thank God that he loves us enough to do that. The Pharisees did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah and the mediator and the propitiation between God and man. We know that because they asked the question, why are you eating with sinners? Why are you communicating with sinners? And that hit me. I began to question our aim. I began to question our goal and to question our commitment to winning the lost. There used to be a saying that the church that I grew up in, and I think it was part of a song, said, win the lost at any cost. Win the lost at any cost. I'm wondering if the church has become more focused on the external and less focused on the heart and the soul of men. As I said, the question that is asked, are you a Christian? And the response is, I go to church. Amen. If going to church made you a Christian, I would put down this microphone and I would run a carpool back and forth and pack as many people into this church as I possibly could, but that's not it. That is not it. Church attendance is wonderful. Church membership is preached here. We encourage you to be a part of a body of Christ that promotes and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that alone will not save you. That alone will not heal that sin sickness that is in your life and in your heart. Amen. I know that for a fact because I was raised in church. But let me tell you, there's times I sat on the pew. Amen. I sat there and I was just as lost as I could be. I had made my commitment. Our mother and daddy had made my commitment. They brought me to church. Somebody said they had a drug problem when they were small. Mom and dad drug them to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and all. They said they had a drug problem. I had that drug problem. It wasn't an option around my house. I was going to church. But let me tell you something. I began to realize one night sitting in that congregation, amen, that just because I was sitting on that pew, I was still just as lost as I could be, amen. I needed the great physician, amen. This is what the Pharisees could not understand. They thought it was by this and they thought it was by that. They disregarded that Christ is the Messiah. They disregarded that Christ is the propitiation. They disregarded that his own through his shed blood, amen, that we can have a born again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, go to church. Yes, read your Bible. But praise God, you need to get an altar in repentance, amen. You need to make Jesus Christ both Lord and Savior of your life. Begin to live a life of righteousness, amen. If you're sick, the Lord can heal you, amen. If you're lost, the Lord can save you, amen. If you're cold and backslidden, the Lord can refresh you, amen. I know that for a fact, because many, many times he's lifted me up and encouraged me by his Holy Spirit. Why eat with sinners? Because Jesus said it's the sick that need a physician, not the well. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So I began to ask myself, Lord, are we just eating with saved folks around here? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with praise and worship. I love praise and worship. Let me just remind you, if you like praise and worship, you're going to love heaven. Somebody said, there'll be no preachers there. Do what? Well, I said, I mean, there'll be no preaching there. Okay. Yeah, you won't need to preach it, amen? Because those will be saved already. But now there is a need for preaching. The Bible says it takes the foolishness of preaching. Why? Amen. So that sinners can be won to Christ. What is our goal? What is the foremost and most important thing that we can do as born again Christians? Amen. It is to work with sinners. It is to call the sinners. It is to love them. Not the sin that they're doing. Not condone the sin that they're doing. Not say, go on and live any way you want. To, but encourage them to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Encourage them to come to an altar of repentance. Encourage them to lay down that heavy load. Let me tell you something. I didn't know how heavy the load was until Jesus took it away from me. Praise God. It is wonderful to lay down and sleep at night and know if I don't wake up tomorrow, amen, I'm going to wake up in heaven. That wasn't because my name was on a church book. That wasn't because my daddy was my granddaddy was a pastor. That wasn't because my daddy was say, that's because I realized that I was lost. I realized that I was on my way to hell. I realized that I didn't have to. Amen. I realized that Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. For me, His blood, amen, is there for me. I took advantage of that and I got up out of my pew and I walked down to an altar. Even though I was raised in church, even though I sang and played music, amen, I had not that feeling, amen, of assurance in my life. I was in a righteous environment. But I was unsaved until I came to Jesus. Amen. Thank God that Jesus eats with sinners. Thank God that Jesus has mercy on sinners. Thank God that He's long-suffering with sinners. Thank God that He's understanding and is kind and compassionate. He could have written me off. He could have thrown me away because I didn't answer Him. I was telling somebody the other day, I wished I had answered the call the first time that Jesus called me, but I didn't. I had all kind of excuses. I'm too young. I got my whole life to live. I got other things that I need to do. But one day I realized that none of that matters whatsoever if Jesus is not alive and well in your life. And I realized when I came down and Jesus came in and He filled me with His Spirit, I realized, amen, that as long as I had Jesus first, I could still do all these other things. I could still have the best life that there is. I could love my family more than I'd ever loved them. There was something different when I was saved and I picked up the guitar. I wasn't just trying to keep tune. I was trying to get in tune with the Spirit of God. I was trying to commune with the Holy Ghost. I was trying to let the Lord know that I'm glad I've been redeemed. I'm glad I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that all sins have gone away. I'm glad that all things have become new. Thank God that Jesus communes with sinners because He communed with me and He pricked my heart and He touched me. And He drawed me to an altar. I want to ask a couple of questions this morning. Number one, is the church spending enough time and effort to convert sinners? I'm going to have to be truthful with you. Can't speak for all churches. But I would have to say no to that question. I'd love to say yes. I'd love to say, yeah, we're doing all we can. I'd love to say that is our main focus and that is our main aim and everything else was secondary to that. But I don't think I could stand in the pulpit and truthfully say that. Is it a part? Oh, yes, it most definitely is a part. Amen. Our aim and our goal should be, amen, to win sinners to Christ. Amen. To love them. To ask them to come and give their life to the Lord. It's a part of our ministry, but I wonder sometimes, is it the focal point and the most important part of our ministry as a church, as a body of Christ, as a pastor? As an evangelist, I recall growing up in church, and I remember almost probably every time that I ever went to church, there was a call for the sinners to come forward. Sometimes sinners would come up and heed the call, and other times nobody would come. Hopefully everyone in the congregation was saved and born again. That is my aim this morning. That in everyone, the Bible says, that my prayer is that all of Israel be saved. My prayer is that everyone that I can come in contact with would be saved. My granddaddy used to have a saying. He said, son, I do not want anyone to point a finger of accusation at me, amen, on the day of judgment and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that I could be born again? Why didn't you tell me about the blood of Jesus Christ? It's not important if you don't ever remember anything that Brother Eddie has said. It's not important that you even remember my name. It's not important that you remember I'm a pastor. But it is important if somewhere along the line Brother Eddie has told you about the blood of Jesus Christ. And that you can't just live anyway. And that you can't just do your own thing. Amen. You can do the thing with Christ and you can still be your own person. Let me tell you something. I have found it so much better when I put Christ first, and I got Bible to back this up. Everything else begins to fall into place. I hear a lot of people saying, everything's just falling down around me, and I just can't seem to get ahead. You'll never get ahead, amen, until you have Jesus Christ, amen, both Lord and Savior of your life. You got to sell out to Christ, amen. You got to put Him first, not just in there somewhere, but He's got to be at the very top of your list. And when I did that, things begin to change. Things begin to change for the better. Little did I realize that growing up in church that I was spiritually sick. I was spiritually anemic. Some of you are going to understand what I'm saying. Some of you are going to say, what? I remember I had a blood transfusion. Not in the hospital. Really, Brother Eddie, who would do that to you? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Where did you have it done? I had it done at an altar. Back at my granddaddy's church in Rottmar, Georgia. Oh, I remember the waiting room. There is such an intenseness in a waiting room. Especially if you're waiting on the dentist. Every little sound just tells, ooh. You know, you've been there. Or waiting to go into an operating room. Or waiting to see it. There's such an uneasiness about that. I remember the waiting room. And the waiting room was in church. Now the little church that I grew up in was about maybe a third of the size of this congregation. And I was about, you know, when I'm saying about six rows back, that's pretty close to the back. I wasn't on the back, but I was pretty close to it. And that was a spiritual waiting room. Oh, and the preacher was preaching. I don't know about you, but as a young boy, I couldn't stand it when he began to talk about a sinner. Couldn't stand it when he began to talk about hell. And the fire of hell never quenched. It was like somebody was taking their fingernails and rubbing it down a chalkboard. It just ran all over me. And I said, Lord, let him shut up. Lord, let him change the subject. Let him talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's for those that are healed. That's for those that are well. Amen. But I was anemic. Spiritually, I was sick spiritually. I needed the great physician. Amen. And one night in the waiting room, I couldn't stay there no longer. Amen. Instead of wanting the preacher to hurry up, I was wanting an altar call, amen, to come. Because I felt that as soon as they hit that first verse of the altar call, I was going, amen, to meet the great physician. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. He didn't say, I'll put you on schedule and come back in 6 months. He didn't say, go back and get everything right and then come to see me. Thank God. He took me as I was. Amen. He took my situation, the sinfulness of my life. Amen. He came into it by my spirit and my soul, and He washed the old man away. Amen. He gave me a spiritual blood transfusion. I'm so glad that His blood now flows through my veins. Amen. I know it wasn't because I was a member of the church. I know it was because now I am a member of the family of God, born again, proud of it, on my way to heaven. Glory to God. No wonder I woke up this morning feeling so good. I hadn't got to go to church. I get to go to church. I want to worship Him. I want to praise Him. I want to tell somebody else what the Lord has done for me, He'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. He loves you just as much as He loves anybody. Praise God. And I left the waiting room and I came down. And the great physician healed my spirit. He made me whole. Thank God that Jesus eats with sinners. The second question, is there sickness in the church? I hear people saying all the time, man, this world's in a sad condition. Yes, the world has been in a sad condition since the fall of man, since the fall of Adam. And it takes nothing short than a born-again experience with Christ to make that anew, to change that old man into the new person. Amen, to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there sickness in the church? By that I mean, are there some who are religious but lost? Religious but lost. I've heard people say, you know, I'm glad that we're living in a time where the preachers don't holler and scream like they used to. Have we become that sensitive, church? Does it hurt our feelings? Thank God a preacher hurt my feelings. I thought it was the preacher then. I found out later it wasn't. It was the Word of God that hurt my feelings. Amen. Preacher was just doing his job. He was just delivering what God had laid on his heart. He was just telling you what the Bible says. It was the Spirit of God that hurt my feelings. It was the Spirit of God that convicted my soul. It was the Spirit of God that told me, you're lost, but you don't have to remain lost. Can I tell you, I've talked about being a sinner. I've talked about being lost. I'm talking about dying in a lost condition inside the church. But let me tell you, there is hope today. There is still the grace of God today. He's still reaching out his hand. He's still beckoning those who are lost to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest like you can't get anywhere else. I'm not talking about natural rest. I'm talking about a wonderful spiritual rest. A rest where you know within your heart, where you know within your soul, where your destination is. I'm bound for heaven, not because my name is on a church, but I'm bound for heaven because my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm born again by the precious grace of Jesus Christ, by his precious shed blood and the work he did on Calvary. This is our focus, church. This is what we need to be excited about, is an opportunity to commune with sinners, to lead them to Christ. So important. My precious brother here, he got sight of that several months ago. Amen. And you remember what you told me, brother. Brother David, you said, God spoke to you and said, just love them. Just love them. Glory to God. Yeah, but they're sinners. Just love them. You're gonna eat with sinners? Jesus said, you're righteous. You don't need me to come and convert you. I came to win those that are lost. Man. Rather than snubbing them, turning our back on them, judging them. I said a few things a while ago and that are very, very harsh, but these are things that I've actually heard. Not from the mouths of unsaved folks, the mouths of those who are righteous, the mouths of those who are born again. You know, one thing that I don't want to hear, I don't ever like to hear, well, there's no hope for them. Yes, there is. I beg to disagree. Yes, there is. Thank God there's still hope. Imagine if you were that sinner and somebody told you, there's no hope for you. There's no place for you in church. You'll never be any better. How do you think that would make you feel? But Jesus didn't turn them away. Thank God he didn't turn them away. He died on the cross for them just as he did for you and me. And that needs to be the church focus. That needs to be the pastor's focus. That needs to be every born again saint of God's purpose. Amen. Is to win the lost to Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you been made whole? Have you been made whole? Well, yeah, I got my name on the church. Have you been made whole? Have you been made whole? Well, I try to get to church as much as I can. Yeah, but have you been made whole? Glory to God. You know, there was a little program when I went to school about perfect attendance. I don't know if they still give those things out or not. But I was either one of the most healthiest children alive, or I was made to go to school sick. Because I have about six or seven of those perfect attendance. And I look back now, why in the world did I go every day? My Lord. And during the first years of that, of course, I'm so old, it was back when silver was actually silver. And they gave us silver dollars, Brother Joy, if we was ever, you know, missed or didn't miss a day. I got some of those, and that's great and wonderful. And I know I've told you this story, but I'm not going to mention a name, but there was it was a cousin. That's all I'm going to give you. No more information. But he and I both had perfect attendance in the third grade. Went every day. You imagine what a chore that is? Every stupid single day. Get up. I eat enough oatmeal, my Lord have mercy, in the morning, and toast with apple jelly. And then I get that second piece half eaten. My mother, here's the bus. I love my mother, but I hope I never hear that. Here's the bus again. I run out the door eating that last piece of toast. I didn't no more feel like going to school than nothing. You know what? I even tried to tell mother many, many times. Mom, I'm sick. Mom, I'm sick. You know what make you get to feeling better in a heartbeat? All right, let's go get some medicine. Go to the doctor and say, no, I'm getting better, mother. I feel a little better. Especially once you got that thick, liquidy stuff. Mama, praise God, I've been healed by the mercy of God. I'm ready to go. Amen. But he and I had a perfect attendance. Every day we were at school. Every day. Got to the end of the third grade and got those report cards, and thank God I'd been promoted to the fourth, but he wasn't. He had to repeat the third grade. He was there every day. Wow. Didn't retain it. But then what's your point? I love church attendance. I think we're obligated, amen, to enter into his sanctuary to praise him. But if you have perfect attendance and you never retained it, and you never did anything about it except come in and cross your arms and say, get the preaching over with. And you never answered the call. The many times that God tugged at your heart and wanted you to become more than just a person that sits on the pew. More than just a person that attends church. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not preaching against a church in attendance. Amen. I wish I had silver dollars to give all of you. But that alone, man, it's not what's going to get you to heaven. So is there sickness in the church? I'm afraid that there is. Not necessarily talking about this church, but it's a part of the church of the body of Christ. It's those who come, never make a move, and never become submissive, and never become obedient, and never ask the Lord to come into their life. But I got hope for you. You can be made whole. Amen. You can be made whole. Jesus Christ sat down. He began to eat with some of the most vile people in that community. And the church folks said, what's he doing? What's he doing? He don't need to be around that. He came for such as that. He came for such as me. He came for you. Have you been made whole? Are you now made whole? Only by the blood of Jesus. Only by repentance. True repentance. Not lip service. But giving your heart and your life to Jesus. Are you tired of being spiritual sick? Are you tired of being stressed out? Worried? Brother Eddie, what do I do? What do I do? You merely answer the call. I'm thinking of the woman with the issue of blood. She made it to Jesus through the crowd. For 12 long years she suffered. For 12 long years she spent all that she had to physicians. Amen. Let me know, sometimes you can go to the wrong physician. Spent all she had to physicians. And she was even worse. I know it was a physical thing, but I believe also it is a type and shadow of the spiritual sickness that many, many people go through. I remember my granddaddy telling me about when the convicting power of the Holy Ghost was on his life. He thought he was dying. He said, there's such a weight on my chest. Surely I'm about to have a massive heart attack. I remember his testimony. So you know what he did? He went to every amusement park and every place of leisure he could possibly go because he wanted to get it all done before he died. Come on, sometimes we go to the wrong physicians. We go to the wrong places to try to ease that conviction that's off of ourselves. And you know what? He said, when I tried all of that, he said, I felt just as bad as I did to start with. When she had spent all that she had for 12 long years, she was in worse condition now than she was when she started. But my granddaddy said, you know what? And he used to get on to my grandmother. Oh, man, let me tell you something. My granddaddy became a man of God. He reminds me of some of these disciples that Christ called. Everybody else had written them off, but Christ said, no, I'm going to use them. And my granddaddy was one of those because everything he did was, it was anti-God. He got on to my grandmother. Why do you go and give that preacher all of our money when we just barely got enough to get groceries? Amen. Isn't it amazing how the Lord just changes you? I never would have thought my granddaddy would ever tell me like that. I remember my grandmother talking about that. Then she said, well, why don't you just go to church with me? Just go to church with me. So every once in a while he'd go to church. And then after church, we're driving home. He said, I ain't never going back to that church. All you do is go tell that preacher everything that I'm doing. Then he gets up there in the pulpit and he preaches against everything I'm doing. She said, I haven't told him nothing. I ain't told him anything. See, I wasn't even born when that happened. He was already saved, born again, preaching when he met when I was. But I love that testimony. Because later on, he was standing in the pulpit, amen, because he'd been made whole. Glory to God. He couldn't find it out there. He couldn't find it in all those amusement places. But he found Jesus, amen. And let me tell you something. It wasn't even a church sitting. It was in a home where they was having prayer meeting. He found Jesus. Let me tell you. If you want to find Jesus, amen, he is available. Glory to God. You can find him right there in your living room. You can certainly find him here in the altar. But lo and behold, wherever it is, just find him. Amen. Be made whole. He went on to become a great pastor. This woman with the issue of blood said, if I can only get to Jesus. Tried everything else, but if I can just get to Jesus. And she said, I don't even have to have him anoint me. I don't even have to have him give me his full attention. If I can just touch but the hem of his garment. You know what I see in that? I see true repentance. Because when I hit that altar, I did not feel like that I was even worthy for Jesus to even acknowledge me. I'm just a worthless old sinner, Jesus. My head was so far down on that altar, I couldn't lift it up because I was ashamed. I was hurt. I was in agony. Amen. Of all the life that I'd lived and not committed my life to Christ. Amen. But let me tell you something. I'm so glad that night in Rockmart, Georgia, Jesus pulled his chair up beside a sinner. I'm so glad he began to eat with me. Amen. He began to share that heavenly manna with me. Glory to God. I left that place a brand new person. I came sick and anemic spiritually, but I went out of that place, amen, with my head held high. I'd been born again, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was lost, but now I'm saved. Thank God, thank God, thank God for the love of Jesus. If I just touch the hem of his garment,
then I know I'll be made whole.
You remember Jesus' response after he said, "Who hath touched me?" He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let me tell you something. It takes faith to come to an altar of repentance. It takes faith to believe that Jesus will forgive you as vile and as sinful as we've been. Let me tell you something. The devil has absolutely persuaded a lot of people, because you don't do all these great sins, you're all crap. No. Come on. We're born into a world of sin. You may be the greatest moral person alive today, but you still need to be born again. You may never miss a church service. You may do good to your neighbor. You may all those external things, but you still could possibly be lost. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You must be born again. Amen. We must have Jesus Christ come in, because only Jesus can satisfy you. But you know what? The moment she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, "I felt virtue, power come out of me." And that power went into her. And by her faith, she was made whole. Have you been made whole? Are you sick? Spiritually sick? Are you sick of your lifestyle? Are you sick of everything going bad in your life? Are you sick of not being happy? Are you sick of fearing when you lay your head at night, you don't know if you're going to see another tomorrow? Or more importantly, you don't know if you're going to be with Jesus in heaven? Glory to God. That is my number one goal. That is my number one aim. Hallelujah. You can be made whole. You can be made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed, every born-again, blood-washed saint of God praying, is there anyone in the house?